The pioneer who has consented to be our guest this evening has spent more than 57 years of his life in Alaska. He has always been actively interested in the development of the territory of Alaska. In the past years, he has served as president of the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, a member of the territorial legislature, and for 8 years was the Fairbanks postmaster, Robert Sheldon. Mr. Sheldon, what were the circumstances which brought you to the territory of Alaska at an early age?
My father decided to come to Alaska when he heard of the gold stampede. And since my mother had passed away a couple of years before, I prevailed upon my father to take me with him. He was an old-time friend of Jack McQuiston that used to be at Circle City. And it was the result of a letter he received from Mr. McQuiston that caused him to decide to come north. And we went from Snohomish, where we lived, down to Seattle and took the steamer to Alaska late in December 97 and arrived in Skagway early in January 98.
It had been your plans when you came to Alaska and to Skagway to proceed on to the Klondike, had it not?
Oh, yes. That was the idea.
Did you and your father make an attempt to go into the Klondike?
Yes. When we got to Skagway and were advised that it was too early to start over the White Pass Trail, we took employment with the builders of the Brackett Wagon Road, which was the forerunner of the White Pass Railroad, and we worked on the building of the White Pass Wagon Road for a couple of months before starting over the mountains to the interior.
It was a hard trip for an older man. I understand that your father was not a very young man at that time.
No, my father was born in New York in 29 and naturally was getting along in years. And when we started over the White Pass Summit, which was a strenuous trip, even for a younger and more robust person, my father found that he wasn't going to be able to make it. His heart started to give him trouble, so he decided not to go on into the interior. And he returned to Skagway, where we decided to stay. And my father died and left me at Skagway. And continued to live there for several years in southeastern Alaska before going on into the interior.
How did a young boy, without the guidance of a father and a mother, manage his affairs and his finances during those stampede days? It seems to me that it might have been rather rough for a 15, 16-year-old boy to make his way alone in Alaska.
Well, it was interesting, to say the least. However, money was quite free in Skagway. And my first efforts to sustain myself was by selling newspapers. I subscribed for the Seattle PI that cost us a nickel and sold them to the gamblers and other prosperous people at Skagway for 25 cents and sometimes 50 cents. And then at times we'd rush out the trail and overtake the mushers headed for the Klondike and sell them the latest paper for as much as a dollar apiece. So money was quite free at that time.
I'm wondering if any of those newspapers were resold for more money by the mushers when they arrived in Dawson or the Klondike.
Possibly when they got into Dawson, the papers were worth a good deal more than a dollar. I have heard that some of those fellows rented halls in Dawson and had the hall filled with the listeners while they read the latest news to them, and thereby made considerable money.
One of those newspapers could probably tell us quite a story if it could talk. During the early years or the first few months that you lived in Skagway, were there any outstanding instances or events which stand out in your mind?
Well, the shooting of Soapy Smith was perhaps the biggest event up to that time. And since he was the first man I had ever seen killed, it was certainly very exciting and very outstanding to me.
What is, since you were one of the witnesses, and perhaps because you were such a young boy at the time, you are probably one of the only surviving witnesses, what is your version of the Soapy Smith killing? I'm sure that would be interesting to our listeners.
Well, Soapy Smith was the bad man of Skagway at that time, on a par with Al Capone in Chicago, you might say. And the better element of citizens in Skagway decided that the Soapy Smith element, consisting of a group of men, should be ran out of the place. Otherwise, the town, depending on transient travel, was doomed to go down to a pretty low point. So the citizens held meetings and tried to devise ways and means of ridding the town of this undesirable element. And it was that it was Soapy Smith starting for one of these meetings that was being held down in the dock that resulted in his coming in contact with the guard that ended in his death through shooting. The guard also was shot by Soapy Smith, and while he lived a couple of weeks, or nearly a couple of weeks, he finally died also, Mr. Reed, the city engineer, who was the guard. It's generally understood that Mr. Reed shot Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith shot Mr. Reed, but there are many different versions of the story, and some of them, in my opinion, are pretty badly garbled. There's no question in my mind but what Mr. Reed killed Soapy Smith and that it was a bullet from Soapy Smith's rifle that resulted in the death of Frank Reed.
That's an interesting tale, and one we read about in Alaskan history, particularly of the Skagway Klondike Gold Rush period. I had certainly never heard a first-hand account of it before. Mr. Sheldon, you, out at the museum in the University of Alaska is a car with a plaque which states that it was built by Robert Sheldon in 1905, that it was the first automobile built in Alaska, and that this Robert Sheldon had not seen an automobile before when he built this car. Was that built by you?
Yes, it was.
What prompted you to build this car? There must have been some unusual circumstances.
Well, Mrs. Wien, you may be sure that I was motivated by the same influence. In that case, as has influenced men since the beginning of time, love.
You must have had a rival.
I sure did. And he had a horse and buggy. And I was endeavoring to overcome this handicap since I had no horse. And I finally built the automobile so I could take the girl out automobile riding and leave the horse and buggy tied to the fence.
Since you had never seen an automobile, and since there had been no other automobile in the territory of Alaska up to this time, there couldn't have been spare parts, automobile parts, from which to build the car. What materials did you use?
The chassis was built from an abandoned buggy of which there were many in Skagway, and a little gas engine out of a motorboat, and such other sprockets and chains and gimmicks and gadgets as could be found locally there and used to cause the automobile to run.